Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church.
All right, so tonight is Dory Sunday. Yeah? 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 Come on. Anyone? Yeah? Yeah, yeah. Here's why Story Sunday is a big deal. If you haven't been here for that, what that means is we will be hearing from three members of our community as to what God has been doing in their lives. And I wanted to read, this is Acts 1:8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that might be a very familiar passage, but sometimes we miss the fact of what a witness is. When you're called to be a witness, right, it's not your job to make up a story. It's your job to say what happened. And that's kind of a reminder that, like, that's our calling, is not really to, like, be God's, like, lawyers. We're not actually that. We're God's witnesses. Here's what God has done. Here's what God has done. Here's what God has done in Jesus, and here's what God has done in my life. And that's the thing that we do. We do Story Sunday to celebrate the things that God has done. And also as a reminder that God's not dead, but God is very much alive, and God is very much working, not just in the past, but in our lives here today. So this evening, we get the privilege of hearing from Amanda and Bianca and then Matt. So without further ado, Amanda.
Woo!
Yeah!
Hi, guys. Okay, so as I was trying to, like, frame, like, what I wanted to talk about today, well, it's literally Story Sunday, and I'm writing a story. I've been writing a book for the past year, so I thought that that would be fitting. And it's been on my mind, like, pretty much every day for the past year. Like, every day when I wake up, like, I think about something else to put in it. It's, like, very, very consuming. So, yeah, if you've talked to me recently, I've probably shared that with you, that last year in November, I just was like, I want to learn how to write. I want to learn how to write a story. And I had this very, like, vague idea of the story that I wanted to tell. But I had, like, absolutely no knowledge, like, on the craft of, like, how to begin doing this, like, where to go. It was really scary, but, like, really awesome to just, like, I don't know, it kind of takes your mind to, like, a really different place. Like, let me just start, like, creating things from the depths of my imagination. So that was, like, really awesome, like, and it kind of exhilarating. It was almost like a high to be able to just, like, start making these things up. But then I got to this point of knowing, like, enough about it to know that I actually knew, like, nothing about it. And so then I started asking for help. So I started asking help, like, obviously from Ian, from family, from friends, from people in the community here, from the internet, from podcasts. Like, I just was, like, eating it up, like, learning everything that I could this past year about writing. And something that has stuck out to me as being, like, vitally important to my process of, like, learning to write, but also just about storytelling, is about character arc. And so according to Wiki, because I couldn't give you a good definition, I couldn't make one up on my own, a character arc is the transformation or inner journey of a character over the course of a story. So if a story has a character arc, the character begins as one kind of person and gradually transforms into a different kind of person because of these different, like, stimuli, these changing developments in their story. And so this has been something, like, that I've really taken as being, like, crucial, like, when I'm, like, dreaming up characters, when I'm writing them, this question of, like, what is changing them? Like, what is making them different? What are they like at the beginning of this tale I'm trying to tell? And how are they growing? How are they gonna transform and become different? And so I've been trying to give my characters these satisfying endings, right? Which is kind of hard. And then I got to thinking too, like, what about me? Like, what's my character arc? Like, I have a bunch of stories going on, but right now, like, the journey that I'm on, like, I don't even know if I have a satisfying end to tell anybody. Like, it feels like I'm kind of stuck, right? So I feel like I don't have that. I don't have this satisfying I don't know, this, you know, how things get, your favorite TV show, like, wraps it up. Like, I don't have that. And so on this journey, this season, I think, of my life happened 4 years ago when my brother passed away. And so, like, ever since then, it's been really hard for me to look at my journey as being something more than, like, I'm really anxious today. Like, I'm really depressed today. It's been very overwhelming, very all-consuming, and I often have felt caught in those things I've labeled myself as, and, like, while I don't have a cure for those things, and while I'm probably going to struggle with them for a long time, I do know that I can redefine, like, what I consider to be my arc. I don't want my arc to be those things, like the anxious, depressed, obsessive, and I don't want that to be the end-all be-all of, like, the story. Like, I don't want the person that I give myself off to be is, like, that's what I'm telling you, like, that's what I'm giving you. And so I think I've been, like, discrediting myself, like, by conceptualizing myself like that. So that's kind of what I've been learning, is that, like, I don't have to conceptualize myself like that. And that, like in a good story with a really good arc, there are those changing, those things that develop you and change you and transform you. There are these big moments, right? And so I would also just want to challenge you to think about, like, what developments have kept you moving too, because sometimes I think it's hard, like, to remember that things aren't always the way that they are right now. That, like, our stories aren't ending in the crappiness of, like, right now. And so one changing development has been just, like, everybody, like, well, not everybody, but a lot of people encouraging me in my fine art and in my writing. And so I had a professor a couple years ago when I was taking a sculpture class that I feel like really set me kind of, like, on this journey of just being able to, like, even share this all with you, to be like, yeah, I do art and stuff. He really validated my art and expressed genuine interest in the messages I was trying to convey. So that was, like, 2 years ago. Before that, I, like, never would have thought that I had something important to say. And that validation that he gave me, that encouragement, has made me brave enough to share myself and the stuff that I make, even the not-so-good pieces, with other people. And it's been, like, really humbling and, like, kind of, like, nauseating to, like, share those things, especially when you know that they're, like, not that good yet. But it's been a really vulnerable experience for me, and I think that other people get to know me better too when I'm able to share those parts of myself. And then the other one has been starting here. So me and Ian were actually talking about this on the car ride over here, that this week is our year-iversary here, which is really cool, because we had been looking, like, after we got married, we had been looking for a church for over a year. And then before that, I actually, like, haven't, even in college, I wasn't part of a church community, because I was just thinking about this smelling like Jesus thing that Gary talked about. Like, it was just really hard for us to find somewhere that we thought smelled like Jesus, and we were really longing for it. And so that's another really big part of my story for this year, is just, I wanted to thank you guys for welcoming us, because I'm one of those people who, like, really, really need church to remember my character arc, which isn't that I'm anxious and depressed and all those things, but that we are people with glorious hope. We are people of the resurrection. That's my story, and it's yours too. So, yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. And that's all I have. Okay, hi. I'm sorry, I'm not feeling well. I mean, don't worry, I'm still gonna talk, but yeah. So I'm gonna tell you about my internship that I did this summer. You guys knew that I did that, right? Okay, cool. So I did an internship with Redemption this summer, and my goal, my vision was to plant a garden, which I did do. But to grow flowers and to give those flowers away to the people of Bristol who are hurting, and to use that as a chance to love people. And I actually ended up just visiting one person, an elderly woman who I met through Krista. And through that, I really learned presence, and I felt like that's what God was teaching me this summer, is how to be present with people and why that's important. So when I visited with this woman, I don't know if I should say her name or not. I don't know what I'm really allowed to share, but when I visited with her, it was a lot of suffering that was very overwhelming to me, and I felt like I wanted to run away at a lot of points because I hadn't really seen such intense suffering like up close before. And there were many times that I would come and I'd just want to do everything for her, like make her bed or just ease any type of suffering, like in any way. But I just remember this one day, she just said, like, "Bianca, just sit down. I want to tell you a story." And it was one of the days that, like, was really rough for her. So I was really surprised. And also, like, my brain was just focused on trying to do things for her and the time that I had. But she told me to just sit down, and she told me about a Christmas celebration that she had when she was, like, 5 years old. And she told me it in detail. And it was really beautiful. And she had so much joy on her face despite all of the pain that she was in. And through visiting her, I just really learned presence. And I learned that God really cares about her, even when I'm not there, and that I don't have to try to save her or do everything for her. And and that I can, the greatest gift I can give is to be actually there with her. And then another short story is I also volunteered in the community garden, and I met a man. I don't know if I should say his name either, but anyway, a man, and he was really nice. So he was really nice, and he was very, very open to me, which I was surprised, which a lot of the people weren't, because a lot of them were older, and I would go up to them and be like, "Hi, my name's Bianca." And they'd be like, "Okay." They didn't really care who I was, because I was like a newbie and they all knew each other. So, but this one guy in particular was like super, super nice to me. And one day he just came up to me and told me about his friend who's dying in New York, and how he couldn't visit him, and how they've been friends for so long. And like I said, like, we don't know each other at all, but he was just saying all this. And honestly, I didn't have anything good to say that day. I hardly said anything at all. I was feeling a lot on the inside, but I didn't really have a chance to like share the gospel. I was like running. I was late to our meeting that we had that day. And, you know, I don't know. I guess like long story short is no one ended up telling me that they believe in Jesus at the end of this whole thing. And at times I definitely felt like I was failing, you know, but I just learned that God is present. Like, I just felt such an overwhelming love and presence that, like, God was there and that this mattered, even as I listened to that guy talk to me. And so that definitely solidified my faith in God and believing that not only, because I was all, while this was happening, I was reading The Universal Christ by Richard Rohr. So it kind of felt like this crazy thing was happening in my mind of like, wow, God is the God of like the universe as I was reading this. But then I was also being mind blown because I was realizing as I was interacting with people that God cares about the tiniest of tiny details. And the most important thing we can do is to be present and to give our love that way, to be fully there. So I just wanted to share a verse with you guys that I felt like encompassed everything that I'm trying to say. It's Isaiah 57:15, and it says, "For this is what the High and Exalted One says, He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." So honestly, I don't know the whole context of that verse, and it kind of kills me because I love context, but I do believe in what this is saying, that God is holy and he is exalted and he's on high and he's in control of everything, but also he really, really cares about people, and especially the people who are broken and are hurting, and he's with them all the time, and he's present with them. So, yeah, remember that. He's with you cosmically and personally. Okay, thank you.
Hey, everybody. So I wanted to share two things. One is a personal update that I shared last Sunday, and then a story with you all. So I have worked part-time for Redemption for a good handful of years, and as of about a year ago, actually, I started also working part-time for Reliant Mission, the mission agency that mobilizes Marjorie and I to serve here at Redemption. And just recently, an opportunity came up where I could start working full-time for Reliant remotely here in Bristol. And I decided that I'm going to pursue that and see what God has for me with that. The practicalities of that are we're not going anywhere. I'm still going to be involved in Redemption and Elder and participating and everything. It just means that in a few weeks, some of my roles and responsibilities will shift and change. That's the bulk of the practical change in that. But in the midst of that, I'm really excited for this transition and opportunity to serve more with Reliant Mission and what they're doing. Some of the responsibilities and things I do with them and will be doing are interviews and assessments for folks joining Reliant as missionaries. Also, I help lead two of the trainings each year for onboarding new missionaries in the support raising process. I assign coaches to those folks. I coach some of those folks through that process of raising their initial support. And then there's also this other side of my role that is more systems and structures of how do we do this thing and how can we improve it or make it better. And so that's the short version of that, and you can always ask me questions later. I'm all up for that. So to kind of transition into the story I want to share, it comes out of me working with Reliant. And it's actually a story of some partners and missionaries that serve abroad with Reliant. So I'm going to skip over names and all that stuff just for the security purposes. But yeah, there's a good group of missionaries serving overseas, doing some church planting, discipleship-making movements in a country that's about 60% Muslim. That isn't always friendly to Christianity, but isn't always, you know, against it in the most violent of ways. But they, yeah, they've been doing work there for a good handful of years now and have partnered with local Christians who have grown up there and have lived there their entire lives and doing discipleship and church planting alongside them as well, which has been a really beautiful movement. And so in this story that I heard that I want to relate to you guys, there's what seems like a phenomenon happening there right now where people are having dreams about Jesus. Jesus is coming to them in their dreams and essentially saying and revealing himself as Jesus to people who had no idea who he is. And this is happening so much so that their church's website, they've geared it so when people go and Google, I'm having dreams about Jesus or who is Jesus, their church website pops up towards the top. And they even have chats set up with some of their folks that people go on their website, start chatting with them, start asking questions, and then they engage with them and meet up with them in a cafe. And so there was this young Muslim man who had a dream about Jesus, and he Googles it. I'm having dreams about Jesus. Their website pops up. He goes on the website. He jumps on the chat, starts talking with one of them, and agrees to meet up in a cafe with one of the teammates. And so they're sitting down in the cafe, and the teammate's asking the young man, like, so you're having dreams about Jesus. Tell me about it. And he's like, well, I'm not actually having one dream. I'm having two dreams about Jesus. And so he tells the two dreams. And the teammate pulls out his Bible and says, like, well, that's fascinating. Like, you've just told me two Bible stories. And so he reads the boy his dreams back to him from the Bible. And then they begin to talk about the gospel and who Jesus is. And he accepts Jesus and decides he wants to follow him. And, you know, this is a big deal in a country that's 60% Muslim. You know, if you do that and your family finds out, there's big ramifications. So he decides to do that. And they have this conversation. And then the teammate asks him, do you know anybody else that's having dreams about Jesus? And he's like, well, actually, I think one of my friends might be. And so 3 days later, they meet back up in the cafe. He brings his friend. The teammate brings another guy. And they're sitting down talking. They ask the friend, you know, tell us about the dreams you're having with Jesus. He's like, I'm not having just one dream, I'm having two dreams. And he begins to tell his dreams, and they're two Bible stories, but they're two different Bible stories than the ones his friend told. And so they pull out their Bible and they read the stories back to him. And they go to start telling him more about the gospel and about who Jesus is. And the friend who brought him is like, wait, stop. Can I tell him? And so they're like, sure, you know, tell your friend about Jesus. That's great. So the young man proceeds to tell his friend who he brought about the gospel and who Jesus is. And he accepts Jesus and decides he wants to follow him too and figure out who Jesus is. And so they ask him, do you know anybody else having dreams about Jesus? And he's like, actually, I think, yeah, one of my friends might be. And so to fast forward the story a little bit, the same thing happens yet again. They bring their other friend, two dreams, two different Bible stories than both previous, and he also decides to follow Jesus. And so there's this beautiful picture in this story of the Spirit being alive and at work in a very tangible way in this place, that they're doing discipleship and church planting. And as I heard that story, I was encouraged and felt like I was able to be encouraged in a way where, you know, maybe the masses of Bristol aren't having dreams where Jesus shows up and say, hey, I'm Jesus, like, check me out. But it reminded me that Jesus is at work. He's out there, he's knocking, he's waiting, and he's revealing himself in some way to those around us. And, you know, our role and job is to kind of look at those we're encountering and say, hey, where's God showing up in their lives? A phrase I heard a while ago that I really liked is being detectives of divinity. Looking around and going, where is God at work in this person around me? And then when we see those moments, we step in and we point them to relationship with Jesus. And so, yeah, I just, when I heard that story, I felt like I wanted to share it with you all because it was very encouraging to me and challenging in very helpful and tangible ways. So I hope you are also encouraged to know that the Spirit is alive and at work in and through and around us in Bristol, Bucks County, Philadelphia, and the world. So thanks for letting me share, guys.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.